Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is not our text this morning. I'm sorry to say. But as I was studying our text, I could not get this one verse of Scripture off my mind. I kept saying this one verse of Scripture. And so I want to begin by reading it this morning. Hebrews 11, and look at verse 13. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Isn't that a comforting verse? These all in Hebrews 11, and these all died in faith, not having received the promises. But they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. And they confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, now let's turn to our text. It's 2 Samuel chapter 23. Second Samuel 23, let's read the first five verses. It says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." David died in faith, not having received the promise. But he saw it afar off, and he was persuaded of it. And he embraced it. And he confessed that he was just a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David." Those are important words, aren't they? Those are important words. a man's last words. When a man realizes his time is up, it's over. He has just enough energy and just enough time to say one more thing. One more thing. We've seen the movies, you know, the old man is dying and he pulls the young man close and he says, "Son, you got to know this. You've got to know, you've got to hear this." When a man says his last words, that is the moment when he's going to cut straight to the heart of the matter. He's going to tell what he believes is the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David." David knew he was a dying man speaking to dying men and women. And it says in verse 1, "David, the son of Jesse." David was a man. He was just a man. Just a regular man. God said he was a man after his own heart. But David was just flesh and blood like you and me. He was just a man. When David took a stone and he put it in a sling and he started running towards Goliath, he had no idea where that stone was going to go. No idea. He didn't know if it was going to miss him altogether. He didn't know if he was going to drop dead instantly. He didn't know if it was just going to make him mad and then here it comes. He had no idea. He was just a man. Turn over to James chapter 5. Hold our text because we're going to turn back and forth a little bit. James 5. And look at verse 17. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man. Elijah, just a man. Subject to like passions as we are. That word passions means feelings and experiences, and it goes on to say usually painful. He was just a man. Elijah. We started in Hebrews 11. Go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. When Abraham had Isaac, his son, laying on an altar, bound up, and a dagger in his hand, ready to plunge, he had no idea what the outcome was going to be." He was just doing what the Lord told him to do. He had no idea. Verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." When Moses made that decision, he had no idea what the outcome would be. He's just a man. Verse 29 says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned." Israel is hemmed up and the Egyptians are chasing them. and they're at a sea, nowhere to go. And the people are asking Moses, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Moses very wisely says, stand still. Just stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. But Moses had no idea what they were going to do. He had no idea. He's just a man. Until God told Moses, strike the water. Moses was thinking, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. I have no idea. God did. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They're walking around Jericho for 7 days, and at the end of every day, you know they had to be asking, does anybody see any cracks or anything? Does it look like we're making any ground at all? Is anything happening? They were just men. They all died in faith. David was just a man. Our text back in 2 Samuel 23. Says David was the man who was raised up on high. David, in his last words, is taking this opportunity to tell how great things the Lord hath done for me. He said, I was an object of God's grace. I was nothing. I was a beggar on a dunghill. I was a shepherd boy, just a keeper of sheep, and God made me a king. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 6. This is Hannah praying. It says, the Lord killeth. The Lord killeth. And maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world upon them. In Revelation 1, John said, He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. David says, this is the most important thing I have to say. These are my last words. And I want to tell you how great things the Lord had done for me. Now our text says in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, David was the anointed of the God of Jacob. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel 16, verse 11 says, And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. When David was anointed, what that anointing was the Spirit of the Lord coming upon David. And let's notice what that caused in David. Back in our text, it says, the end of verse 1 says, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord caused grace to pour from his lips. The psalms were so sweet because every single psalm had the same subject, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Everything he wrote about and spoke was the Lord. He was determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And David says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. David says, the things that I have written in the form of psalms are the words of God. And I say this morning, the things that I speak, not every word that comes out of this mouth, I'm a sinner. But the things that I declare from this word, they are the words of God. These are not Gabe's words. They're not David's words. It's the Word of God. Well, David uses his last words to say in verse 3, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. And this is what he said. Son, make sure you hear this. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. David said, the Lord told me that somebody is coming. And he's going to take over the throne, and he's going to rule it forever. Somebody is coming. He that ruleth over men is going to be just. He's going to rule in the fear of God. Verse 4 says, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. That's who's going to sit on the throne forever. Let's see where the Lord told David this. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Brother Sammy read. 2 Samuel 7. Verse 12 says, Nathan the prophet, the Lord is speaking through him to David. Verse 12 says, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. David, when you die, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now David has to die for someone else to take over the kingdom. He knows he's going to die, and somebody's coming to take over. And he said, it's coming out of your seed, out of your bowels. Verse 13, and he shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. David knew the promised one is coming. That's what he's saying in his last words. Somebody's coming. He knew it was somebody from his seed. Somebody is going to take over the throne, be the salvation of Israel forever. Now, David was just a man and he didn't know how. He didn't know why. He just heard the promise. You know, with every single son and grandson that was born to David, he was looking for the promise. Watching that child. Watching him like a hawk. Is he the one? Could that be the one? Someday, somebody's coming. And one day, a child is going to be born. A son is going to be given. And he's going to be the one. Is that him? And it didn't take long at all. Sin would rule. And he'd say, nope. He's not the one. He's not the one. So David says in his dying words, verse 5, although my house be not so with God, so far no one in my house has fulfilled this promise. We are all sinners. We're just all sinners. I haven't physically seen the Messiah yet. I haven't physically seen the Savior yet. He says in verse 5, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Just listen to this. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. The things that haven't happened have already happened. What David's saying is, it's ordered and it's sure. Ordered in all things, he says in verse 5. And sure, this covenant. David says, let it be known and let me be remembered for this. This is all my salvation. If these are my last words, let them be this. This is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. And by God's grace, in spite of me, is all my desire. This is all my hope. I add nothing to it. I take nothing from it. My all is in His covenant. It says in verse 5, although, or even though, He make it not to grow. Even though I have not seen the fulfillment of it yet. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I completely and I totally lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Those were David's last words. That's what he's saying. I pray that those will be our last words. Our last words. Well, let me ask this question. Did the Lord God keep His promise to David? He said, somebody's coming out of thy seed. Somebody's coming to take this throne. This covenant he made, who was he talking about? With each one, David wondered, is that him? No, that's not him. Is that him? No, that's not him. Who was he talking about? Who will reign on the throne forever? And who does David represent? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter in the whole book. Revelation 22. Verse 16. The Lord says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, and that means preacher, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the one. I am the bright and morning star that 2 Samuel 23 is talking about. I'm the one. Now let's turn back to our text. The Lord, David represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read our text as it being His words. Now these be the last words of Christ. He is the first. He is the last. He changeth not. The words in the beginning that He spoke are the same words He spoke in the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His first words are His last words. Verse 1 says, Christ is the son of Jesse. Isaiah 11 and verse 1 says, There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text in verse 1 says, He is the man who was raised up on high. Lifted up was He to die. It is finished was His cry. And now in heaven He's exalted high. He is the one who was lifted up. He is the anointed of the God of Jacob. John said, I saw the Spirit and it landed on Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David wrote the words that flowed from his lips. He said in verse 2, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. It's my spirit. And His word was in my tongue. Verse 3, The God of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and He shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And He says in verse 5, the good news of the gospel. Our Lord says in verse 5, although my house be not so with God. My house, my people, my creation, my chosen, my house. They're not so with God. They have fallen from God. They have sinned against God. They've rebelled against God. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made an everlasting covenant with me. With man it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Our Savior said, man could not keep this covenant. But God didn't make this covenant with man. He made it with me. And I'm here to tell you, it is perfect. It is finished. It is ordered in all things. Every single thing is working together because of this covenant. And it is sure. In Isaiah 46, verse 11, the Lord says, I have spoken it. I will do it. He says, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And He says in verse 5, this is all my salvation. This salvation is all my salvation. Salvation has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me. And thankfully, He says, it's all my desire. Why did our Lord do all of this? It is only because He wanted to. That's why He did it. He wanted to. It was His will. He said, I will that where I am, they may be also. And He did it for the joy set before Him. He wanted to. He delights to show mercy. He said, it is my pleasure. It's my pleasure. It's all my desire. He says in verse 5, although He make it not to grow. He's saying to His people, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. You're actually holy. In my covenant. In my salvation. In my desire. If I desire it, you're holy. Even though you cannot think it, you can't feel it, even though He make it not to grow. Ask a believer, do you feel like you are growing in grace? If a person will really, really get honest in their heart before God, are you growing in grace? A believer will say, if I'm honest, I feel like I am worse than the day I started. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're just men. We have no idea. But we do know this. When He shall appear, we're going to be just like Him. I want to read this to you. This is a hymn in our Gadsby's hymn book. And this comes from this text, and Brother John was looking at it this morning. We almost sang it. And it says, come saints and sing in sweet accord, with solemn pleasure tell the covenant made with David's Lord. In all things it's ordered well. This covenant stood ere time began. It was made before the foundation of the world. That God with man might dwell. Eternal wisdom drew the plan. In all things it's ordered well. This covenant, O believer, stands. Thy rising fears to quell. Sealed by the surety's bleeding hands. In all things it's ordered well. 'Twas made with Jesus for His bride, before the sinner fell. 'Twas signed and sealed and ratified, and in all things it's ordered well. When rolling worlds depart on fire, and thousands sink to hell, this covenant shall the saints admire, in all things ordered well. In glory soon with Christ their King, His saints shall surely dwell, in this blessed covenant ever sing, in all things ordered well. Although it be not so with my house, with me, this tabernacle I live in, God has made an everlasting covenant. It's ordered in all things and it's sure. And it's all my salvation. It's all my desire. Even though I can't see it yet. Thank God for these wonderful last words. May the Lord bless that. Brother John.